Hello and welcome to the Superb Owl Podcast. This week I'm joined by Corey Spearman, podcaster, producer, all-around amazing streamer. Goes by the name MC Fixer on the internet. I would say what channels, but it's basically everywhere that you can find gaming-related content. Corey is just a phenomenal person and truly inspirational in just the way that he carries himself and just the drive and passion that he has. Corey and I sit down and we have a conversation regarding how he built his brand, how he got into the streaming and gaming business, and specifically just the trials and tribulations that come along with that. I really hope you enjoy this episode. I had a lot of fun talking with Corey. I think it's going to be a great one. Thank you. Corey, thank you for joining me this week on the Superb Owl Podcast. I want to say, first off, thank you for joining me. On top of that, I want to say thank you for taking the time out of your schedule. I know that we're kind of on opposite sides of the planet here. So so it's 9:30 my time and it's 5:30 your time. So yep. I just want to say thank you. So it is 5:30 on a Saturday night for you. So extra thanks for that. Like, I know how important the Saturday night gaming sessions are.
Do you know what? No, it's Saturday nights for me and my night I usually spend with with my fiance. Like, I obviously streaming all the time and playing a lot of games during the day. So Saturday nights is my time away from games and not working. And you hit me up, and lucky enough, my fiance is getting ready to go out. So I was like, okay, this is perfect. Let's do it. Let's get it done. Let's make time and make it happen. So thank you very much for having me.
Well, I'm honored to have you. Corey, just so that you know, you're aware of what we do here at Superb Owl, we give a platform for people to talk about their failures, their shortcomings, et cetera, in scope of how their successes have come. Because I think it's important that we talk about those failures, because without them, success wouldn't come through. And I want to use this as a platform for creators to destigmatize the nature of failure or the concept of that. So, kind of rolling right into it, just hit the ground running. Why don't you give kind of a short, long, medium, however you feel, spiel as to who you are, what kind of got you into this space, and we can roll from there.
Cool. Yeah. I go by the name of MC Fixer. Corey's my real name. Or Mook Fixer, if you're in the kind of funny community, which I hate. I am 26 years old. Been a full-time content creator for probably about a year now. Funded through Patreon, patreon.com/MCFixer. Live streamer on Twitch, twitch.tv/MCFixer. And podcaster. I do three different podcasts a week, which is My Xbox and Me, which is a weekly Xbox podcast. I do a sit down with my fiance talk, which is called Fix and Friends, where we're gonna have my friends come on the show and just talk about anything but games. And then I do a brand new podcast which I've just launched, which is From the Gamers, which is a community-based podcast where I bring on people and members of the community, people who don't know how to set up a podcast, don't want to set up their own podcast, but want to start creating content, and we get them on that show. We talk about Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo, PCs, mobile, and all that jazz sort of thing. So I'm been a full-time content creator and just grinding it out, dude, day by day.
Well, that's a full year. That's
weird.
I gotta say, how is that? So going from, I assume that you were working a full-time job and then doing content creation on the side, how was the initial leap off the ledge to go from that, kind of stable income stream to something that can be a lot more, for lack of a better term, volatile?
Awful. It was awful. I launched a Patreon. So I spoke to my community, obviously, and was like, I'm going to launch Patreon. Spoke to a ton of people, lots and lots and lots of people saying, I'm going to support you. Don't worry. I've got you. And then you quit your job and or you cut down your hours or whatever it is you choose to do. And you're like, all right, cool, here we go. And I launched on Patreon and I got $25. And I was like, oh God, what have I done? And then that's the moment of truth right there. That's the moment you decide, what is it? Do you want this really that bad? Or do you want to just give up straight away? And for me, it was a case of, no, I'm going to be okay. And you just started, kept grinding it out, getting more and more people involved, learning my craft. I launched way too early. I was a full-time musician before this, as well as I've done now with selling street CDs on the street, busking, stuff like that. And I knew what I had to do. I'm very, 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 very fortunate that I have a amazing, supportive fiance that has my back 100%, and believes in me so much. Like, no matter what, she's there and supports me. So even when it was $25, it was like, it's okay, I've got you. Let's just keep it going. And then you slowly keep grinding and keep getting going up and up and up and up as you do. And even still to this day, I mean, my Patreon numbers are out there. I think I make about $300. I think that's it, a month on Patreon. And then you have to learn business at that point, because you've got to learn how to monetize in other areas. But yeah, it was scary. It was really, really scary and really hard. It still is hard.
Yeah. I honestly can't imagine going through that. I mean, I'm still fairly young in my content creation days, so maybe one day. But one, I have to commend you, because that's, you know, to go from, you know, stable income and then to get $25. For you, when you saw that, and was there a point, because you said, no, I'm just going to push through, I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to persevere, I'm going to just run through this brick wall. Was there a point where you hesitated, where you were like, you said, I've made a huge mistake, but you kept forward through that process? Did you think, like, maybe I should go back to work, maybe I should go, like, wait a bit? Or was it just a situation where you were like, no, I've committed, I'm going forward with this? What was going through your mind at that time?
My whole philosophy in life is, if you're not happy, don't do it. I've worked at retail stores, I've worked at McDonald's, I have done a lot of crappy jobs to put food on the table for myself and to just live life. And I got to the point, I'm 26 years old, like I said beforehand, and I was miserable. I was miserable. I was not happy in life. And I was like, you know what? I see other people doing it. I think that I can add something. I've got a personality. People seem to like me. Don't get me wrong, I was streaming before that. I didn't just like wake up one day and was like, I'm quitting my job and then this is all going to work. That wasn't the case. I had an audience, maybe not as big as what I thought it was at the time. But I never thought it was a mistake, because I believe in myself. It's not a case of if, it's a case of when with me. There's no either or. It was, I'm going to make this work. Maybe I'm not going to make as much money as I thought I was out of it. Starting off, and you start slowly building up. But no, I never thought it was a mistake. $25 is $25. Let's go. Let's work. Then you've got to change your whole life up at that point. It means you can't afford to buy fancy coffees and every video game and this and that and this and that. No, but you just got to keep going and keep grinding.
So how long prior to making the leap were you a content creator? What was the lead up to that? What initially got you in? And then where was the switch, and how far in advance to you actually making that leap where you were like, yeah, I can do this full time?
So like I said, I was a musician beforehand, so I already had a fan base there. Then, so I was doing that. I was a musician for about 4 years. So I already had a YouTube account and stuff like that had music on it. And then I was a content creator through video games for about a year. I did like a show called Out of Lives, which was the IGN UK podcast group on Facebook. They created like their own brand of podcast. So we did that. I helped like start that up and hosted that a few times. And then I started My Xbox and Me, which was really, once I started My Xbox and Me, that's when I started to really start building. So about a year before I started My Xbox and Me, I'd say. And then I thought, oh, like I said, when you're messaging people and just speaking to people, it's like, yeah, I'm going to support you, don't worry. And you, unfortunately, you can never trust what someone says. Not in a mean way. It's just circumstances change. Not everyone has the means or the money to be able to afford to give you that $5 they said they would, or the $2 or the $3. Doesn't matter what it is. And like I say, you just sort of learn that very quickly, being an independent business. And that's what you are at that point. It's like, okay, well, still got to pay national insurance. You still got to pay like all your bills that you've still got electric. You got your internet bill. You got this, you got that. And you just got to make it work somehow.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's perseverance right there, just to consistently keep at that. So my question to you is, what made you switch from going from music production and mm-hmm. creation into video game production? Or well, not video game production.
Yeah,
not
I know.
A game.
Yeah.
But
no, yeah, creation. Yeah, I got you. Games. So I was I was a full-time rapper. I was part of a group called AG Fly back in the day. We had a little bit of a buzz in our area. That's about it. And the group split up. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I was very upset about it because it was my life from 18 to whatever, or even younger than that, probably. And I was like, okay, well, what am I going to do now? I've gone from doing shows and being paid for it to perform music and selling CDs up London and selling CDs at this show and selling merchandise. And that was my life. That's what I did. I was at sixth form at the time, which is like a form of college. And so I didn't need like a ton of money, still lived at home. And I was like, oh, well, I'm making decent enough money, I thought at the time. And this is going to go on forever. And then the group splits up and I'm like, okay, cool. Not a problem. I was the guy that ran the social media. I was the guy that made the merchandise. I ran all the counts. I'd done everything for the business of that, the group, per se. So I was like, well, I know what I'm doing. I'm fine. So I'll be able to just transfer all that over and bring it to me. And unfortunately, that wasn't the case. Obviously, there was a few people that stayed with me, but not everyone loves video games. So yeah, it was okay, now I need another creative outlet. What am I going to do? What is it I'm going to decide to do now to have that creative juice? It wasn't about money back then. That wasn't back when I started, like that year, that first year. It wasn't about money. I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to become a video game journalist or an influencer or something like that, and I'm going to make a ton of money. No, that was never the case. It was a case of, I need to be creative. Music isn't scratching that itch anymore because I liked being part of a group. That was the fun of it. That would be on stage with other people and performing and doing what I was doing then. That was the fun. And now it's like, well, what am I going to do to be creative now? Oh, I love video games. My dad owns a video game shop. I'm not very close with him anymore, but I've worked there since I was 12 years old. I've been around games all my life. I played the Game Boy when I was like 2. So games have been in my veins since day one. So for me, it was like, well, I'm watching Beyond. I'm watching Unlocked, IGN Beyond, IGN Unlocked. I'm watching Up at Noon. I'm watching a ton of other content creators. And I'm like, well, they can do it. Why can't I do it? I have the personality. I have the microphone. I have the business experience in selling merchandise. And everything that you see today, I had already done previously on a much smaller scale, don't get me wrong. But I knew what I was doing. So I knew I could do it. And that's what it came down to for me, was believing in myself.
What instilled that belief in yourself specifically? Because I find that, and I've spoken with a few people, and it seems to be something that pervades through a lot of content creators, stand-up comedians, business executives. It's this like self-earnest nature, like where you just have this like, you know, internal belief that you're going to make it. What do you feel has contributed to that for you?
I don't care what people think, which some people take that the wrong way, but I truly mean that, where like, I don't put weight in other people's opinions of me. I know who I am. I know that I'm a good person. I know this, I know that. And for me, it was just a case of, if I want something, I'm going to go get it. My mum and dad don't even understand what it is I do still to this day, or nor does my aunt or my uncles or anybody. No one understands what it is I do. What's a video game influencer? What is that? What's YouTube? They don't know what YouTube is. It's funny cat videos, right? You don't make money from that. For me, it was a case of, I had to believe in myself because there wasn't that many other people around me that believed in me. And once you, if you can look in the mirror and go, I believe in you, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter about anybody else, because the others will come. Other people will support you. Other people will appreciate what you're doing. But if you can't look in the mirror and look at yourself and go, I believe in you, then why is anybody else going to believe in you?
And that's that's advice you can carry with you to the grave, in my opinion. So you've come from this music background, you've started up this, your podcast channel, your mm-hmm. YouTube channel, your live streaming, and you're on your own. In this past year, after everything got situated and stable, what has been the most challenging thing that's come your way? Aside from the financial aspect of it, what pushed you in such a way that has there been anything that has made you like contemplate or question?
Growth, not in the financial sense, in the number sense. I'm on like, I think I've just hit 3,000 subscribers on YouTube, which is tiny. Let's not get it twisted. I mean, same thing for Twitter, same thing for Facebook. I think growth is something that people expect, that you're going to start doing it and people are just going to watch. Discoverability is so easy. Everyone, it just happens. Like Ninja woke up and was just Ninja. Like, no, that's not what happened. Ninja was Ninja, and then he slowly but surely grew, and then gets to where he's at now. People don't remember that part. They only remember Ninja's big. Oh my God, this. Do you understand what I mean by that? So staying motivated since I still wouldn't say I'm financially stable. That's not something I am just yet still. But it's a case of, I'm very much a believer of, you have to live within your means. If you're earning $300 and you're spending $300, you're doing something wrong. If your bills come to $300 and you've got no other money, you're doing it wrong. Not everyone is, again, I've got a beautiful and super supportive fiance, who, if anyone watches any of my content, knows her already. So I'm very, 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 very lucky. But for me, it's a case of the growth. Growth is just so hard and so slow, and just celebrating every one subscriber, every one comment, every one like, every time you hit 100 views on a video or 1,000 or whatever it may be, whatever that person's goal is. I've been doing this now for, I've been creating content on the internet for about 4 or 5 years now, and I'm still nowhere near where I thought I would be. Nowhere near. But you learn analytics, you learn this, you learn that, you learn how to cater to your audience and stop looking at other people's audiences and figuring like, oh, I'm going to do this because they're doing that and that's successful, or they're doing this and this is successful. It's like, no, what do your fans like from you? And that's where you go. You just go from there. But no, to really answer the question again, no, I don't. There's nothing that stopped me. Even when the growth's been slow, I've never been like, oh man, I might have to quit because I'm only at 200 views on this video, or 100 or 60. It's like, thank God those 60 people watched it. Thank God those 10 people watched it. Thank God whatever it may be. I never, ever, ever think more. I want more, but it's not owed to me. I have to go out there and get it.
I'm trying to think of the word to describe, I guess your humility and thankful nature is something that I find really refreshing. One of the things I really like to ask my guests is, if you could go back in time and give yourself, or anyone who is younger, who is looking to get into, content creation, production, etc., is there any piece of advice that you would want to give that you wish that you heard years ago?
Yeah, stop making excuses. I don't care how old you are or who you are right now. Listen to this. Stop making excuses. I started with an iPod Touch and a piece of blue tack. I used to stick my iPod Touch to the wall, and that's how I'd make videos. I used to do a show called Ask Fix, which is on my YouTube channel. You can see it. The quality is awful. But I learned how to be in front of a camera, and I learned how to speak. I'm still not very good at it, but I'm learning every day. And people are like, I haven't got a Canon, I haven't got a DSLR, I haven't got this mic, I haven't got this monitor, I haven't got this, I haven't got that. And it's like, do you have an iPhone? Yeah. Stop making excuses. There's free software out there for you to be able to edit, or edit your photos so you got your thumbnails. There are so many free tools out there that people just love to make excuses. So if I could go back and tell myself that, I would have started this process when I was probably a year or two beforehand, and then I would have been even further on in my career. But yeah, stop making excuses. I hate it. Excuses are just, they annoy the hell out of me.
And to kind of further build on that, is there something from a creator that you admire that you would want to project out there that maybe someone hasn't heard that you would also want to take to heart. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah, I watch a guy called Gary Vee, which is, he's like a multi-millionaire, like runs VaynerMedia. He's like a, he's not an motivational speaker. That's not even what he is. He just, he documents his whole life and he just happens to motivate people. And he says, he taught me this one thing, which is about replying to comments. Everyone does this thing where like, they complain that they've only got 100 followers, yeah? On Twitter or wherever it may be. And then someone comments on their post, and they don't even have the decency or can't be bothered to even reply to that comment. Like they're above it. Like what? Like you're complaining you only have a certain amount of followers, yet you don't care about the followers you do have. Makes no sense. So now I make a point of trying to follow the ones that are that share the same interests as me, followers. If it's video games or film or sport or whatever it is, I try and follow them back. And I try to reply to every single comment. I'm not the best there. I don't do every single one. I'm sure some slip through the cracks. But you've got to let people know. If they follow you and they take their time to check out the content or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Show some respect back. Like they deserve, even it doesn't matter what it is. It can be a love heart, it can be a thumbs up, it can be, but show the fact that I love how people love to do the like, oh, I liked it. So then you can see I've seen it. That's cool, but that doesn't show that you made any effort. You just like. No. Go through and actually reply to each one of these comments. They're actual people. And I think that's what we've forgotten in this influencer social media age. Is that there are actually people on the other side of that. And this is a two-way street. This isn't a one-way street where, like, I come in as the influencer and you, Alex, you come in and you're like, oh, Fixer, how are you? And I'm like, oh, I'm too cool for that. No, that makes no sense. The reply back is, hi, how are you? It's not, there's a conversation to be made here. And that's what I think a lot of people, and I'm talking about people with 100 followers, think that they're too big for, and it annoys the hell out of me.
That is some poignant. I really appreciate that, and I've got to say, like, just candidly, like, that's one of the things I love the most is we, you know, right, we're on separate sides of the globe, but we're always able to have a really great conversation on Twitter or Facebook or what have you, in whatever medium that we're communicating, and you're always so genuine in your replies, and I really appreciate that. I think that that's something I would agree is kind of lost on today, society today, And you're right, like with the like, and granted, like there's a difference between someone who has 100 followers and someone who has 30,000 followers. A like is a lot different when you look at those two things, right?
See, I hold them both in the same vein, where I agree with you, which I understand. Maybe you're not going to get through as many of them. Maybe you're only going to get through 5 people instead of 100,000, whatever it may be. I'm just throwing out numbers here. Like, right. No, maths is not my strong point, let's be honest. But the point I'm trying to make is, take the time. These are people that support you. These are people that care about you. These are people that want to engage with you. So take the time to do that. Like for me, I've my whole schedule's totally changed. So like I don't stream in the mornings anymore, so I can get through emails and I can do social media posts and I can be able to respond to emails and DMs and stuff like that. And I am not big at all. I'm a nobody. I'm an ant. I'm a fly. I'm a piece of chewing gum on the floor. I'm a nobody. But I still take the time out to do that. So if I'm doing that, surely the person that's even smaller than me, not to belittle anybody, that's not what I'm trying to do here, you can do it. And then you start to grow a community. I don't call my supporters fans. They're not fans of mine. A lot of these people I've met in IRL, not all of them, but a lot of them. I know that the times they go to work. I know the times that they're sad. I know this, I know that, I know this, I know that. They're not just a username to me. These are people. And these are people that support me day in, day out and watch 8-hour streams, 24-hour streams, 10-hour streams, videos, whatever it may be. Support me financially through Patreon or a Twitch sub or bits or whatever. And they're people. And I'm sorry. I might be going down a rabbit hole. You don't want to, Dan.
No. This is something I want. This is you. This is you being real. I appreciate that. So continue.
Yeah. No, yeah, it just frustrates me. There's just like, right now, kind of funny, you're doing the nominations for the competition for to fly two people out to San Francisco. And I had a little joke with you on Twitter, which was totally a joke. But I have had so many people DM me, tweet me, Facebook message me. How do I do it? I want to support you. How do we do this? Can we make this happen? And I make a choice to go through every single one of them and say thank you, because they could quite easily scroll past it.
Yeah.
Some people will get annoyed. It's like, oh, you're retweeting too much stuff. I'm like, I don't care. Unfollow me. These are people that care. They care about me. You got to show love back. You have to.
Yeah, love's not a one-way street. It's two ways. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Corey, I want to thank you for coming on, sitting down, talking with me. The very last thing I like to do with my guests is give them a way to just plug themselves through any way that they can, and just give them that opportunity. So
yeah,
let it go.
Yeah. I'm known for plugging. So yeah, you've heard me speak today. Patreon.com/MCFixer. That's where most of my funding comes from. I'm an independent content creator that just works his butt off 7 days a week, streams 5 days a week over on twitch.tv/MCFixer. And yeah, just has a great community. If you want to be part of that, please do come check me out. If you like what I've had to say, follow me on Twitter at MCFixer. Find me on Facebook at MCFixer, Instagram at MCFixer. I don't do Snapchat, but you know, at MCFixer, I'm probably there. I'll be honest with you. But thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for tuning in this week. Superb Owl posts every Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific time. It's Friday now, not Thursday. If you want to hear terrible gaming takes, just general ranting and raving about soccer and football, you can follow me at Alex to the Andrew on Twitter. And I just hope that you all have a great week.